and welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes. I'm an author, lifestyle entrepreneur, former pro athlete, and world record holder in football. My goal with the School of Greatness is to share with you stories from the most inspiring business minds, world-class athletes, and influential celebrities on the planet to help you find out what makes great people great. So please leave us a review over on iTunes and join us on the web at schoolofgreatness.com to be notified of each episode when it comes out. Now let's get after it. So I literally went into battle with my next guest during the day of our interview. You might recognize him from the hit show, The Biggest Loser. He's also a personal trainer in Hollywood and is the number one New York Times best-selling author of The Skinny Rules, The Simple, Non-Negotiable Principles for Getting to Thin. PETA even voted him the world's sexiest male vegetarian of the year in 2010. Now, he's become a good friend of mine outside of the gym, but in the gym, I consider him my CrossFit nemesis. This interview was taken in the middle of the Brick CrossFit gym in West Hollywood and right after a brutal workout. So I hope you enjoy this raw and real interview with the man, Bob Harper.
How's it going, brother?
Good, Lewis.
You worked hard today.
It was super hard, man. And I was impressed because I feel like I should be better than you at this stuff, but you smoked me at everything.
Wait, why are you supposed to be better than me?
Well, one, I'm like 10 years younger than you.
That's true.
And I'm like, I used to be a pro athlete, so I'm like, I should be able to do this stuff, but you've been a trainer for how many years now?
I've been a trainer for about 20 years, but I've only been doing CrossFit for a year. I mean, A year.
Oh, my gosh.
I've always been very much cardio-oriented. I've been like the guy that gets overweight people thin, right? That's what I've been doing for a really long time. So now all of a sudden, getting into CrossFit was a real eye-opening experience because, I mean, these workouts really handed my ass to me every single time I walked in. And, of course, it gave me an objective. I'm very task-oriented.
Uh-huh. Nice. So tell me how you got started. Your fame, your claim is The Biggest Loser. So how did you get started? How did they choose you? How did you get into it? Was there an audition?
It was a really long process. I remember, we're about to start its 14th season.
That's amazing.
I'm the only one that's been there since the very beginning.
And you've been there the whole time?
The whole time.
Wow.
Every single season. And it started with an audition process. I've been a trainer in Los Angeles for a long time, worked with a lot of celebrities, and then all of a sudden this idea of this show, The Biggest Loser, came about, and they were auditioning trainers. And when I first heard the title of the show, I was really skeptical of it. I was thinking, you know, I'm not going to be a part of some like show that's going to make fun of fat people. It's just like it's not going to work. But when I went in and I saw what the idea was, I thought, oh, okay, this could be a really good project. And it was a six week long audition process.
What,
dude? I was I had to train everybody, every executive over at NBC. I mean, I remember finally I was getting so annoyed by the fact that I was having to train so many different people to try to get they were trying to get an idea of all these trainers. I got this one executive. She came in one day, and it was like 7 o'clock in the morning, and I buried her. She was puking. She was puking outside the gym, and I was just like,
"You're just so angry. You're like, let's get this done.
I know I'm the guy for the job, so let's do this."
Now, did you ever think in all your years as a trainer, you've been training celebrities for years out here in LA, did you ever think that you would get on TV for a show like this, for an opportunity like this?
No. I never came to Los Angeles to get on television.
Right.
It was never my objective. You know, it's like, figured this is the funny this is the interesting thing about me. Like, I've been given a really big opportunity. I have a big platform now. I get to reach a lot of people. I have been a trainer for a long time, and I really like this kind of gym environment. I like working out. I really walk the walk.
Right.
But I also like working with people one-on-one. That's why I enjoy doing the show, and I know that long after the show, I'm going to just be going back to, like, owning my own box this and just, like, being a trainer. I mean, that's what I like.
Right, nice. Now, I'm really curious about.
And I'm so glad I was better than you in this workout.
Well, I now, did
especially
with you.
Especially,
I did lift heavier in the beginning.
On the strict press, you did. I was sore from my week, but yes.
Well, I did a double workout yesterday. I did Inception, and then I pushed the Prowler, and then sprints, and everything else. So I didn't tell you about that.
I didn't hear what you did. I just hear what you're doing now.
So now, what I'm really curious about is, the mental side of things when you're dealing with.
Right.
So you see a lot of people that drop 200 pounds in a show or 100 pounds. It happens all the time in a six-month period, right? Now, what do you think is kind of like the emotional things that hold people back to get that far out of shape? Let's say physically, but also this could be towards business, you know, getting out of shape in your business, out of your relationships, but getting out of shape in personal. But then how, first off, why do people get that far, lose themselves that much? I'll let you answer that one first.
Okay, there are three words that come to mind. Complacency, laziness, and depression. I mean, these are the three things that kind of come up for me when I've worked with the people that I've worked with. Sure, I've worked with guys that are 500 pounds that just love to eat mass quantities of food, right? I mean, there is that certain demographic of people, but a lot of times it's people's emotional response to food. It's their relationship with food. It's how they perceive themselves. It's like, you know, you look at somebody, and if they are not happy with their life, they're going to act out in some way. And like a lot of times the people that I deal with, their addiction goes into overeating.
And so what about, I feel like you probably have you're a better psychologist than a lot of people because you've dealt with people losing a lot of weight and then gaining it back. I think sometimes a lot of people gain it back after they lose it, right? So why do people, what does it take for them to keep it off? What's the shift in their mind in order to lose the weight and keep it off?
People have to realize that when, especially if you are dealing with weight issues, they are never, ever going to go away. You are never going to be cured. This is not something that you've taken a pill and now all of a sudden it's like this. I'm fine now. I've lost all this weight and I can just like, I can just do whatever I want to do. You have to think about it every single day. It's like, I have to focus on what I'm eating every single day. I've got to think about my, my workouts. I've got to think about like what my lifestyle is. And that's what I really try to tell people all the time. It's not about losing the weight. Losing the weight is easy. It's about keeping it off. It's about changing your life and it's about divorcing yourself from the past.
Ooh, divorcing yourself from the past. I like that. Cause in business, there's a lot of people that, they come to me a lot of times to say, you know, I don't know how to grow my business. I don't know how to get more leads. I'm stuck at this level, but how do I break through this level? And I think a lot of people, it's the same mental aspect in business and life and in health, right?
Yeah, I think that like, you know, what I would think when it comes to business, with me, I think you got to like kind of like put your balls out there, you know? It's like you got to, if you're scared of doing something, chances are you probably should do it.
You should do it, right?
It's like, you know, I think that that's what I tell people all the time. It's about, fear is really comfortable. You know, it's like people can like get very stagnant and get into a very neutral lifestyle because they're just afraid of like what, afraid of the success or afraid of like, you know, failure. And it's kind of like, How do you know what you can do unless you just try to do it?
Right. You know what I like is some people become really addicted to working out. They have to work out every day. They get in this mindset. It's like, I'm addicted. I feel great. I feel energized. I'm you know, my body looks awesome. People also are addicted to eating. So they eat a lot. They're overeating. Their body looks fat, everything. But what just came to mind is if people started becoming addicted to facing their fears and doing their fears every day, they'd be having breakthroughs left and right, right? Every day facing your fear and going after it and being addicted to like feeling scared, but going after it, wouldn't that be kind of cool?
Absolutely. It's like, you know, put a fear wad together, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. Exactly. So how do you motivate yourself to keep fighting for people that don't believe in themselves?
I battled with that in the very beginning because I used to think, I've got enough hope. I've got enough, like, you know, strength to just like carry you to the finish line, right?
Right.
And I realized that I can't do that.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, for me, unless you're willing to meet me halfway, there's absolutely nothing I can do for you. It's like, I can tell you every plan. I can put you on any workout plan, any diet plan, and get you to lose weight. But unless you're willing to meet me in the middle somewhere, or at least take that first step, there's nothing anyone can do.
How many people do you work with that say they're committed to meeting you halfway, but then don't?
I've worked with, it's interesting, when I work with the athletes on the show, they come in very motivated, right? And they you really try to find out what is motivating them. It's like, mm-hmm. are they motivated by the money? Are they thinking, okay, you know what? I could win $250,000 right now if I win this. So I'm going to devote all my energy right. to this. And it's like, you've got to really be able to like kind of spot that and be able to get them to change that. Because I've seen the people come onto the show that have won and then they put all their weight back on.
Really?
And for me, it's like,
it's just because of money.
It's because of money. And so you got to find
the shift in their mind.
There has to be a shift in the mind because right. you cannot sustain a lifestyle like this unless you are completely motivated to. Right. And it's like thinking about it every single day. I always tell people, go up to a guy that looks like you and go, what do you do? I mean, you have to think about what you're doing. You've got your protein shake like right. that you're drinking right after a hard workout right. like that. You're pushing. It's like you think about it. You're constantly in the game. And it's mm-hmm. like I'm trying to get people in the game.
I like that, in the game. Now, when you have a huge goal as an individual who's 200 pounds overweight or 100 pounds overweight, or they're in debt or whatever it may be, they're in a bad relationship, what is the best approach to take on a huge goal that's like seems so big that it's like years away? What's the best approach?
I mean, I think that it's almost like that AA mentality. You've got to just take it one day at a time. I really believe that if I'm going to look at a guy that's got to lose 200 pounds, or if I'm looking at a guy that is just like in debt for $100,000 however much, you've got to look at what you can do today to change your future. Because right. if you're living in the past, you're fucked, right?
It's
like in the future and the same thing. You got to like do what you can do today, here and now. So it's like the guy that's got to lose all this weight. I can't get you to focus on you're going to lose 200 pounds. I got to be like, you know what? Let's get the first 10 off. Let's see how that's going to feel. And all of a sudden that first 10 comes off and you're like, okay, I'm motivated. I'm willing to keep going. Right. It's the same thing in any aspect of your life. Whatever you want to change, no matter how big that goal is,
right.
you've got to take those small steps toward it. It's like, it's too overwhelming and daunting to just like take it all on
right.
in the first day. That's where I see failure happen with a lot of people. I see failure happen when people decide, today's the fucking day that I'm going to just
right.
like, I'm going to do it all. I'm like, by Friday,
they're done.
You're screwed.
Yeah. So it's really having a plan and sticking to little baby steps each and every day. And following through the entire plan.
Yeah, I was like, when you say baby steps, it makes me think of that movie a long time ago, What About Bob, with Bill Murray. It's like where he's like in therapy, and it was like these baby steps. He's like baby steps to the elevator, baby steps to the car. And it's like, I think about that all the time when I work with the athletes that I work with.
Now, do you think that fitness and success in any area of your life go hand in hand? Do you think you have to be fit in order to be successful?
I think that to be a well-rounded individual, you've got to have a healthy lifestyle mm-hmm. and to have a clear mind and a clear head. I mean, I think that I always try to get people to look at the full pie of their life, right? Mm-hmm. How's the relationship? How's their business? How's their personal life? How's mm-hmm. their health? And it's like when you have a balance of all that, that's when you are pretty much living the dream,
right?
And I think that dream is a real hard and can be unattainable for a lot of people. But I think that if you really kind of take those small steps toward every aspect of your life being the way that you want it, then you're going to be able to achieve it.
Yeah.
I think that I really do believe it's like we live in a country that anything is possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can do anything that you put your mind to as long as you have faith in yourself and give yourself a chance.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things I talk about is health, wealth, and relationships balance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some entrepreneurs who sell a company for $100 million, but they're 100 pounds overweight, or no one likes them. And for me, I don't feel like that's success. I feel like you've got to be well-rounded in all areas of your life to be successful, but that's my point of view.
Right.
I think you're on that track.
I think that I'm on that track too.
I like that. So what's the best way to train your mind on a daily basis to put you on the right path?
God, this sounds like an Oprah Winfrey episode. But I really think that you've got to be able to find something that you're grateful for every single day. It's like I tell people that are like in the darkest time of their life, it's like this. Find one thing in your day, and then the rest you can just like fucking go to,
right.
you know, you can just go to the darkest place. But as long as you just like plant that seed, every single day and not get wrapped up in the misery of whatever your situation is, looking for a job, going, you know, bankruptcy, whatever, like major, huge issues that so many people have to go through. If you're able to just like start to plant that seed of change, you will be able to change.
I like that. I like that. So what's your daily routine like when you wake up? Do you plant those seeds? Do you talk about what you're grateful for in the morning? What do you
It's not the first thing in the morning, but it's at some point during my day. It's like I get up in the morning and it's one of those things where it's like I take my dog out, I go for a walk, I have my coffee, I'm just like taking in what my day is going to look like, what I want to achieve today, like, you know, when my workout's going to be. You know, I plan out my meals. I'm very like kind of anal retentive about things like that. But I also just like, you know, what am I going to do fun for myself today?
Right. That's cool. Now, tell me about your book. It's been on the New York Times bestseller list for how long?
God, it's been like almost 4 months now.
Wow. Consistently, it hasn't broken the list.
It's been in the top 10. It was top. Wow. It was number one for like 10 weeks.
Wow.
And it's a great book. I mean, I got to tell you, what I really wanted to do was this. So many people are always just like, Bob, just give me a set of rules. Just tell me what to do. And that's what I go on to. I go on to the show every single season, and it's like this. Here's your things to do list. You check this off at the end of the day, and then everything's going to work out. And that's why I decided I'm writing this book. I'm going to put these 20 simple yet non-negotiable rules together that are going to give you the tools that you need. And the best thing about it, it's not some quick fix. I mean, it's like it's things that we all know, but I'm here to remind people about
it. Right, exactly. But everyone wants a done-for-you plan, and they want the things to be done for them step by step.
They want to take all the thinking out of it and just like, all right.
Take action.
Just tell me what to do. I'm like, all right, I love telling people what to do, so here you go.
You like being the boss, right?
I like being the boss. I've got major control issues. So
so what's happening with the next season? This is going to be your 14th season. It's going to start soon. What can you tell us about this, or what are you excited about, or what are you?
I'm really excited. Jillian's coming back. Jillian Michaels. She's been my counterpart on the show since the very beginning, and she was gone for the past two seasons. Uh-huh. And I really believe that the show took a hit by not having the combination of Bob and Jillian.
Yeah.
I love that when I talk about myself in third person. but, you know, it's like Jillian and I really have a chemistry together, and we have a lot of fun together, and we have really maximized the good cop, bad cop mentality, and it's like, it's going to be really exciting to, like, get back to work with her.
How many more years do you expect this to continue?
That's a really good question. I think that I knew from the very beginning that this show had legs. Everyone was just thinking, oh, this show's going to be, you know. One season. And I remember like that first day when I met those contestants and I saw the whole idea of this. And I saw the passion that Jillian and I have for the jobs that we do. I knew that we were going to be here for a long time. And I remember looking at her and I said, you and I are going to be working together for a long time. She was like, this show's not going to last more than one season. And I was like, you are wrong.
Wow.
And now here we are.
Well, I think as long as Americans are, 30% of Americans are obese, or one every three or some children are obese.
The obese rate now is, it's like reaching.
It's ridiculous.
It's reaching like over 40, almost 40%. So,
as long as that's happening, this show is going to continue.
People are obsessed with weight loss. You know, people are always looking, and I think it's interesting. In the very beginning, it was a show that overweight people watched, and now it's like the family show. People want to watch it with their families. Fit people watch it to get tips. Now that I brought CrossFit into it, it's like it's turned into a whole other ball game.
It's
awesome.
It's so nice. Now tell me about your business outside of the show. What have you done for yourself to grow a side business? You've got products, you've got DVDs, you've got now a membership site. What are you doing to leverage the media that you get from the show for your own business?
Well, what I've done now is like I kind of built my whole brand. I've kind of created this this corporation where not only are my DVDs doing really well, I also have my book series now. I've got my online club that's really starting to take off. I do a lot of speaking across the country. I go around, and that was something that I got into during my second book. I think that when you have the gift of gab. You know, I like to talk, as you can probably see. You know, it's like, I remember the first time I got up there and started speaking to people. Like, I was really excited about the fact that, like, you know, I had something to say, and
people
wanted,
listen to you.
And people wanted to listen. So, I love that I've just taken over your office. We're almost done.
You got the neon shirt, the neon shoes. We're talking about the intention. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Bob's Brick. We're changing the front door today.
We are. Oh, they're on their way.
Yeah. Try not to steal any of my stuff. I'm bringing in my the rest of my stuff today. That's what I've really done. I've just like really kind of like branched out, but still staying in the health and health and wellness arena, because that's what I love and that's what I do. So, right. But my speaking engagements have been a lot of fun.
Right.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun and extremely lucrative.
What do you see as the most lucrative thing for you to capitalize on with the media attention, with the show? Is it the membership site? Is it speaking? Is it the books, the products? What do you think long term is going to be the best for you?
I mean, of course, I think that the show has been the most lucrative for me, right. And other show deals that have come to me, other producers that have come to me with different kinds of ideas. I know that Jillian and I have really been going back and forth with putting a show idea together.
Right.
I think that it's funny because this job and my career has made me a lot of money, and I'm really, really fortunate for that. But it's never ever been my objective. Just like it's never been my objective to be on TV. It's you know what it is? It's a really great byproduct. All of a sudden, I get to do all this, all these other projects, and I do have all these this brand that's out there and it's really building and getting stronger. But I never lose sight of why I do what I do. And it's like, I like working with people. I like coming into a box like this. I want to be able to just interact one-on-one or help as many people as I can. And now it's kind of like I've been given this platform to reach out to a lot of people, and even with my social media.
Yeah. Well, it's huge. You got like half a million people on Twitter or something, and Facebook.
Yeah, together we got like, you know, I'm reaching well over a million people that I just kind of like talk to on a daily basis about like what I'm doing. And what I find is like every single day when I just post my workouts or post a picture of that push press that you gave me, that picture of that one day that when we worked out, I mean, the people that just get motivated from that because they see that
you're working hard and
I'm working hard, and it's like, this is something that I've got to do. So it's like, it's a good way to just kind of reach out to people.
Right. So what's next for you then?
Well, I think what's next for me is my third book. That's what I'm going to meet. I'm working on it right now. I'm writing it with my partner, and that's my next thing. I've got another DVD series that's coming out. I'm going to. I'm really getting into the CrossFit community even more with Greg Glassman and Dave Castro, and just like finding projects that I can do with them, and because I think that, I mean, as you know, you've been bitten by the CrossFit bug too. It's like it's an addiction, and it's one of those things that I want to give it to the masses.
Yeah.
You know, I want to give it to the people that aren't like the Rich Cronings and the, you know, and
Graham
the Andy Thor, yeah, and the Graham Holmbergs. It's like I want to show Middle America that they can do their scaled down version of Fran and feel just as good as we do afterwards
with lightweight and
it's all about scalability. So
now, what is the thing you're most passionate about that people don't know?
Photography.
Really?
I'm a photographer.
Well, you do use Instagram a lot. I like.
Use Instagram a lot. I'm a big. I love photography. Okay. I just bought a little beach house in Laguna, and I've been. This project right now is printing all these photographs that I'm going to be putting all in the house. It's going to be like all my photography. I don't know if that's narcissistic.
We've got this photo right here you just took too.
Oh yeah, I took that on his birthday. That one out there with the girls on their handstands. So that's what I'm really passionate about. I love it. It's like it's a good outlet. It's a good creative outlet. It just like, you know, it kind of puts my brain someplace else. And I love having a camera in my
hand. That's cool. So where is the best place people can find you online?
BobHarper.com.
Okay.
That's cool. That's where I am. That's where I am day in and day out. So,
okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Bob Harper, man, the myth, the legend. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, man. And I'm strong. I was stronger than you today.
You were stronger than you.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that interview, and make sure to head over to bobharper.com to learn more about our guest. He's definitely an amazing guy, and if you're looking to improve your level of fitness, I couldn't recommend his membership site, his books, and his DVDs enough. I hope you guys are enjoying the School of Greatness podcast so far, and any feedback you have would be very much appreciated. Make sure to head over to schoolofgreatness.com to be notified of our next episode, and please stop by iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Until next time, thanks for listening, and do something great.